For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, as always, Ed Jordanic. Also joining us from NDNation.com, Mike Coffey. Fellas, it's actually only July, so I would assume that's an indication of the level of excitement that we're actually doing a show in July, as opposed to, you know, August 20th, when we usually kick the season off.
But, not really. We just thought maybe once a quarter we should get together, you know.
That's right. But clearly, you know, I mean, I think it's safe to say there definitely is a little bit of excitement surrounding this football team and this football program as of the moment. Coffey, I'll give you first dibs on that. What do you attribute it to? And do you think it's real as opposed to the other years where we kind of fooled ourselves thinking that there was a bunch of excitement that's going to lead to something?
Well, I think after a couple seasons in a row where things have kind of fallen obviously below our level of expectations, I think that fans are looking at this season as really kind of a determining season, if nothing else, for Brian Kelly, where this is his third year. He's had more than enough time to put his stamp on the program. And granted, there have been things the last 2 years that have worked against him, obviously, but I think people are looking at this season saying, this is where we expect to see the results. If Brian Kelly is going to be the coach we expect him to be, now is when we're going to start seeing it. This is where the quote-unquote magic starts happening, if you want to look at it that way. And I think folks are hoping to see what we've been promised to see from the last 2 years. They want the experienced head coach who's going to get this program truly going in the direction he wants it to go, and hopefully we see the results we want to see as a result.
Yep. Yeah, Ed, you know, I would
see maybe it's just the people that I talk to, but their expectations are a lot lower. They just want to see us find a quarterback this year that and then compete against the most difficult schedule in the country, and then come out and look to be in a BCS game and compete for a national championship in, you know, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. I don't really talk to anybody who thinks they expect any magic or any results this year when you look at the schedule and you look at the fact that, I don't think anybody thinks that Tommy Reese is kind of the long-term answer for having an explosive offense. Not that he doesn't give us the best chance to win right now on July 29th, but I think a lot of people that I talk to, they just want us to find an identity, an offensive identity with Chuck Martin and one of the young quarterbacks, whether it's Everett or Gunner. I don't hear too many people who are in Andrew Hendricks' camp, but that doesn't mean that he can't be the answer either. And also from people I talk to, they just want to see us beat Michigan and beat Stanford and, you know, be competitive in the other games against Oklahoma and USC, and figure we'll stub our toe to some other opponent. But I mean, you know, it's a hard schedule from top to bottom. So I don't talk to anybody who's expecting or, you know, requiring any magic in their evaluation of Brian Kelly for this year. But again, maybe it's just because I talk to a bunch of old people.
Well, you know, I will say this, there's definitely two things I would point to that do show promise for us, I think, which tends to give us hope. And that would be, number one, at least some of the guys that I know that are on the inside with this football team seem to think that there is definitely some chemistry that's built in that. You know, I think a lot of times fans in general underestimate the chemistry of a football team. You know, everybody likes to point to where did you land recruiting wise in the top 10 or the top 5 or the top 3, and that's what dictates whether or not you're going to have a good season. It's totally far and few between that. The reality of the matter is it comes down to coaching, and it comes down to your players and whether they buy into the system that you're running or not. And
well, that's different than that. To me, that's different than chemistry. I mean, I think chemistry is one of the most overrated things in sports. I mean, we were hearing all about what a together group this was at this time last year. And then they come out and put the ball on the ground. And by the middle of the season, you know, Kelly's throwing him under the bus and Manti's leading a Twitter revolt against the coaching staff. So, you know, I don't, I think if you win, that takes care of your chemistry. And you can only have, you can only be, you know, rah-rah together, you know, we like each other, everybody's on the same page, et cetera. You know, that's easy to be, you know, during the summer, during workouts and stuff. But that falls, you know, that gets challenged really quickly if you underperform. So get it done on the field and then tell me how good your chemistry is.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. That's totally true. The other point I was going to make that was related to that as to why there's hope and coffee, you can comment on this. There clearly is some momentum building from a recruiting standpoint. I mean, Notre Dame has, under Brian Kelly, enjoyed some decent success. Nothing that's out of this world great, you know, unbelievable. But he has pulled together what I would consider what you need to do at Notre Dame, which is get around the top 10. You don't have to have the top recruiting class every single year, year in and year out, but you have to be somewhere near the top 10 if you truly want to compete. And he's at least been able to get that done. And not only to get it done, but he's doing it with the right kind of positions that he needs to fill. And certainly I think with the 2013 class, you're seeing some momentum building towards getting the right kind of guys in here that we need at the right kind of positions. And that would be the other thing that I think that builds some hope and momentum into this football season.
Well, I'd certainly agree, but I think we also need to remember that the 2013 class doesn't sign for another 6 months. And as we've seen in the last couple of years, a lot can happen between now and then, both on the good side and the bad side. I think we're meeting needs, which is an important thing. I'd like to see us do better in the cornerback and running back areas. But I think the most important thing this season, especially with regards to recruiting, is to show a level of competence and achievement. Because Brian Kelly, I think, is talking a great game with recruiting, and that's good, that's important. But at some point, that has to be matched with on-the-field results. If we throw out another 4 or 5 loss season, it's going to be really hard for the coaching staff to go into these recruits' living rooms and show we're going to be doing great with this and that. After in a third season, you have to show something on the field. There has to be good wins, and there can't be these blowout losses. There can't be games where you're just looking and scratching your head thinking, what is he thinking doing this, that, and the other thing? We have to show that what Brian Kelly is talking about in recruits' living rooms is also happening on the field, or between now and the first Wednesday in February when these recruits sign their letters of intent, it may not be as good a thing as we hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, back to Ed's point, it does come down to winning on the football field. No matter how you slice this up, you can be excited and all you want. But
well, look at Michigan. I mean, Notre Dame was probably a 10-2 football team last year, and Michigan was probably a 9-3 or 8-4 football team last year. But those weren't their records. You know, I mean, their records were very different than that. And that, as to Mike Coffey's point, that shows up in recruiting, because a month after the season's over, or 3 weeks after the season's over, you know, these recruits aren't looking at film and looking at how freaking lucky Michigan got in like 5 out of their, you know, 11 wins, but they stepped up and made plays when they had to. They've got something going there, and they got to a BCS game, and all that stuff translates into some momentum and success. So he makes the salient point is you've got to take your you know, the success that you've had with your 2013 class. And I can't even believe we're talking about it, because it's like, give me a break. Let's just focus on the football season. But yeah, he's exactly, I mean, you got to go and get some wins and show people that not only can you bring good players, can we bring good players in here that you're going to play with, but we can lead you to championships or to, you know, to prestigious bowl games or however you want to say it. So that's the difference.
Yeah, and let's talk about that just for a second. So heading into the season, I mean, right now what's coming a month from now is us kicking the season off at in Ireland against Navy. You look at Notre Dame's schedule, and there's clearly two that you just right off the bat say, all right, look, it's going to be probably improbable that Notre Dame wins either one of those games. You then have another three games besides those two where, yeah, you'd like to get the win, but you certainly can't say that Notre Dame should, without a doubt, win those football games, you know, bar none. And those are the three games that are probably going to decide, you know, this football team and where people think we're at this point. And certainly for Notre Dame, if there's going to be any momentum built upwards, it's going to have to be that, that we can't do any worse, at least in my mind, than 9-3. Now, it depends on how you do that. I mean, I know we always say that, that, you know, a football team is defined by that, the way that we play. You can't just say that, all right, if they go 8-4, it's an absolute unbelievable disaster, because it all depends on how you go 8-4. But realistically, I mean, going into this season, I would think that anything less than 9-3 is not going to be good for the program heading forward, and as well as the evaluation of Brian Kelly. I mean, would you agree with that, Coffee?
Well, I would agree with that, but I'd like to take that a step further and ask the question. We're sitting here in the third year of this guy's tenure, and we're already saying, well, we're probably not going to win this game. Why are we saying that? Why is it that we're going into this season saying it's okay, oh, it's okay, and we're looking at 9-3 as, okay, it's going to be good if we're 9-3. If this guy is a championship-level coach, when does he start bringing that to the table? When do we start taking and beating teams that maybe we shouldn't necessarily on paper beat? Or when is all of the good things supposed to be coming in? It just blows my mind that we're sitting here thinking, well, here's two games we're probably not going to win. Brian Kelly didn't get here 20 minutes ago. He got here 20 months ago. Where is...
My argument to that, yeah. My only argument to that would be the quarterback position.
Whose fault is that?
Well,
look at the names of the guys that are. You've got Tommy Reese. You've got Everett Golson. You've got Andrew Hendricks. All of these guys have been through at least three springs and two full seasons. If these guys cannot grasp the system and cannot be champion and cannot lead us to at least contending to a championship, you know, whose fault is that? I mean, it's not like these guys, it's not like we're talking about Blair Keel, a true freshman, or Gunnar Keel, a true freshman here. These are experienced guys. I mean, we're saying, we have inexperienced quarterbacks. These aren't true freshmen. These guys are supposed to know what they're doing. They're supposed to be able to lead. If they cannot lead, whose fault is that?
Well, my only argument to that would be if Tommy Reese leaves the Notre Dame football program, I don't know that you'll see him on our schedule or anybody else's schedule that we play. I don't think he ends up with that kind of program and leads that football team. Now, that's just the way that it works out from a recruiting standpoint. When it comes to Golson, I mean, at least when I'm hearing his, he's a hell of a talent, but he's also a hell of a head case. And so you've got an unbelievable dilemma for Brian Kelly because...
But he's a Brian Kelly recruit. It's not like Charlie Weiss just foisted him on him. Brian Kelly recruited him.
I agree.
Recruited a head case is what you say.
I am. And what I'm saying is, well, I don't know that you never know until somebody gets under center at the college level as opposed to how they play in high school. I mean, this is just one of those things. You just can't do it. I don't know. I'm not trying to make excuses for Brian Kelly, but you got a sophomore who's had no playing experience whatsoever, hasn't taken a single snap under center in the collegiate game, and you're walking into a season and you want him to orchestrate 9-3 or better. And I think that's asking an awful lot of somebody who's a sophomore. Not to say that he can't pull it off. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying from a realistic standpoint, as you look at this season, where we stand today, where we ended up last season, and heading into next season, to be realistic about this, you got to just, you know, understand the situation and say, all right, we got somebody that hasn't taken a single snap. What are the chances he's going to run the table? I mean, it's just not good.
Well, then why didn't he take snaps last year?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, part of the problem is that with this, you know, with this system and with a lot of systems, I mean, not just Brian Kelly's, is the, you know, the quarterback position, you know, this is true in the NFL, it's true in college. You've got a situation where the quarterback position has just an inordinate amount of importance to the success of the offense. I mean, it's beyond being a trigger man. It's just everything lives and dies, and you know, go. I mean, it wasn't always that way. You know, I mean, I don't think, you know, Lou kind of set his offenses up to, you know, 8 or 9 plays, execute the hell out of them, and beat you down. And it's just a different philosophy. It's a different game. So Mike Coffey's right. You gotta, if that's the system you're gonna run, it's on you to get these guys ready to lead and to execute and to play. So, but I do think that Brian Kelly will probably be mostly evaluated this season by how well the offense performs, what he and Chuck Martin have done to raise the overall consistency and level and efficiency and of the offense. And I mean, I agree. I think that, you know, you should look at, it's Notre Dame football. You should look at it like you're going to win every game. And I've always not really been a big fan of the 8-4, 9-3 speculation and whatever. Just, you know, I don't care if it's a lousy team, you should go in and, you know, expect to win every game. But I think that, you know, that's the quarterback thing, the quarterback position at Notre Dame, it's always a big deal, and it's all anybody's going to talk about between now and, now and the time that somebody emerges as a front runner and a starter and the man. And I hope that that's sooner rather than later, because I hate the drama week to week, and I hate the shuttling of guys in and out. And it's just, you know, part of me is like, if Gunner shows that he's got the tools, then just, you know, throw him out there and let's just do the baptism by fire and, you know, have him be the guy. You know, I mean, I just want a guy. I don't like 2 quarterback systems. I certainly don't like 3 quarterback systems. You have to have, I think Tommy's a perfect backup because he's played and he's got experience and he can manage a game pretty well. But I'd rather just go with a guy and see what happens.
I would agree with you there. I do think that this season is going to come down to the evaluation of the quarterback play. There's just no doubt about it. Everybody's going to point the finger at that as to how well Notre Dame does in the 2012 season. You know, defensively, we should be pretty strong. I don't think we're going to dominate anybody, but clearly the deficiencies of this football team are going to come squarely on the shoulders of the quarterback taking snaps. And it could very well be that we have a situation where we got a guy that goes in there that not only doesn't lose football games for us, but he's going to have to pull out a couple. You know, it's always been the case at Notre Dame that's where the light shines brightest, and we need a guy that's going to win a couple football games for us. And to, you know, if we're going to go ahead and take ourselves to the next level, it's going to have to come from there. What would you say, Coffee? Like, right now it's July. What's your overall gut instinct as to where you think this team's going to finish record-wise?
My overall gut instinct, I think they're going to do better than people believe. I think 10-2 is going to be the finish. And to me, 10-2 is in my, from my point of view, acceptable, provided that they come out every... I don't want any weeks where I finish watching a game thinking, oh, wow, they weren't prepared, they weren't ready, they look terrible. If they come out ready for every game and prepared for every opponent, I'll be happy with the season. I think 10-2 is very doable. I think Southern Cal at the end of the season is going to be a tough row to hoe. And somewhere along the line, I can see a stumbling... against, well, I don't think Stanford's going to be as good as many people think they are, but I think that somewhere in the Miami through Oklahoma stretch, where I could see us losing at Oklahoma and at Southern Cal, but doing well in the rest of the
games.
Oh, gosh,
I don't know. That's a pretty tall order. I mean, that, you get a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-old well kids.
I would love that. Ed, would you agree that's doable?
Mentally sharp, you know, whatever, 12, 13 weeks in a row, I think is incredibly hard. And you've got teams like, you know, Brigham Young, to me looks pretty darn good on paper. Michigan State on the road will be tough. you know, I think, I mean, Purdue's going to be improved. I think Wake is going to, you know, have a pretty good quarterback and surprise some people this year. I mean, they gave us fits last year. That was not a dominating performance by us by any stretch of the imagination. So I think there's plenty of landmines out there, but I agree, you know, come out and, I'd feel a little bit better if I thought we were going to have a dominating defense. I think we're going to have a very good defense. I think if we had Aaron Lynch and a lockdown corner, you know, or even if we had like Blanton for another year or something like that, I'd feel much better about the defense. But, so, you know, I don't know. I think it's pretty hard to go into, Norman and win. But you know what? If the quarterback situation has stabilized by then, and we've found a guy and, he's performing at a high level, then I think anything can happen. Same thing with USC. I mean, if we're able to, because I think we're going to be able to control the ball in a lot of these games. I mean, I think our offensive line and backs are by far the strength of the team, or certainly the strength of the offense. And that can win you a lot of football games and keep you in a lot of football games. If you can, you know, average 4 or 5 yards a clip and not turn the ball over, and run the ball effectively, then you're going to have, you know, even against, teams that, are pretty high powered, you know, you've got a definite chance there towards the end. The kicking game should be pretty good. So, you know, and hopefully we'll have a couple of surprises along the way. Maybe a freshman that, you know, Devontae Neal or somebody like that who becomes a returner. You know, George Atkinson continues to impress, you know, maybe in the kick return game, or, and somebody emerges as a receiver. All those things kind of have to happen, but there's no doubt that the pieces could fall into place, for something along the lines of, you know, 9-3, 10-2. You know, I don't know. I just want to see upgrades across the board in terms of, especially offensive efficiency and kind of defensive consistency and stuff like that. And the record will be what the record's going to be, but you just got to feel much better about the program at the end of the year than you did at the end of last year.
Yeah, I would agree. I tend to agree with Coffee. I do think that Notre Dame is going to surprise some people this year. I think they're going to play better overall and be a much more competitive football team than people think. And I think that will be the launching pad for really taking this program to the next level. I do think that it's totally possible that we could go 9-3, but we could be a very, very difficult out, so to speak, in that I do think this team is going to play really well. And I think that if there's some way that we can find some consistency at the quarterback play with whoever it ends up being, and if it is Golson, then so be it. But I do think that if we can find, you know, a guy that can take snaps and really control the football game and make some things happen, things that we haven't seen in the past from that position, then I do think that with everything else that we've got going for us, whether it be the return game with Atkinson, if Riddick gets another chance to return punts and all of a sudden doesn't have the disaster that he had last year, and all of a sudden that opens up for us, I mean, this could be a dangerous football team that could cause some problems and could very well go 9-3 and still end up beating Oklahoma. You know, I do think it's going to be tough going to Michigan State and playing there. I'm assuming that game's under the lights. But, you know, that's never an easy place to go for us, and that's a physical football team that's, you know, going to give us fits. So, you know, I could see a stumble here or there, but I do agree that I got to believe that this football team is going to end up surprising some people, because I do think they're going to play well, and they may, in fact, control some games. The offensive line may surprise some people, and our running game may surprise some people. And even who knows? I mean, if you do end up going with Golson, just a couple scrambles every now and then would be nice, you know.
It's at home,
where we're, instead of losing 12 yards,
everybody's going to be watching, especially after the last 3 years, because the games have been so, so dramatic, and so heartbreaking for Notre Dame. So, you know, look at, you know, the last time we had this opportunity was against USC last year. There was all the hype. There was the stadium. There was the helmets. There was the, you know, this was the coming out party, et cetera, et cetera. This was the game with all the recruits there. Well, the same thing is setting up this time for Michigan. You know, the primetime game, the big recruit visit weekend, you know, it's going to be all of that and more. Denard's, you know, last chance at Notre Dame. Oh, there's a million of storylines, and we have to get the job done. I mean, to me, that's the, you know, there'll be other milestones and other bars and other things to, you know, accomplish this year. But by the end of, but you have to take care of business that, you know, last Saturday in September and kind of show the country, that, you know, that you can deliver something that, I mean, cause you know, if you stack up the talent, you know, it's as good or better than Michigan at this point. If you stack up the experience, I mean, they do have Denard. They do got an experienced playmaking quarterback, which we probably will not have by that point in the season. Or maybe we will have somebody emerging. I don't know. But you have got to get that job done at home under the lights. And then after that, you know, then you take it week by week. But beat freaking Michigan. Come on.
Yeah, but it could very well be that that is the defining moment for the season for Notre Dame. I think a loss to Michigan at home is going to put a sour in everybody's mouth, and it's going to really be a tough climb uphill for Notre Dame to recover from that if they can't manage to win that football game. So I would tend to agree that that's going to be a bad omen for Notre Dame if they can't get that job done at home. Michigan under the lights. In light of the fact that we pretty much dominated them. I mean, absolutely dominated them for three quarters last year. I mean, that game wasn't close. Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, we'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome.
Actually, Mike, go ahead. Mike, can I jump in one more thing? To our audience, if you're listening to this and it's prior to Tuesday the 31st at 7:30 in the evening, Ed and I will be participating in an interview with Jack Swarbrick on a Google Plus Hangout with the Fighting Irish Athletics. I don't have the link necessarily with me. If you go to ND Nation, I'll put a link up for it so people can listen to it. But Ed and I will both have an opportunity to ask Jack Swarbrick a question about Notre Dame athletics in general, or even the football team in particular. So they're definitely going to want to sign in and listen to what we have to say and what Jack has to say in response.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. That should be a great time. So hopefully you guys definitely need to
lob
a softball at him. I think direct him to the point with the tough question is always going to bring the best response.
You know, so you're going to release the financials of the athletic department. And we need greater transparency right from the top. And right, exactly. How much did you pay the lawyers in the Declan Sullivan case? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll make sure we'll attribute it.
We want full disclosure.
Don't worry about it. Nice.
Exactly. There we go. All right. Good deal. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanek and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.